We have two top-notch speakers with us. Yes, Amber Nicole and Ricardo. And they're going to speak on a topic, something about maturity. Yeah, maturity. Okay, so Amber, I've been told you are first, so take the stand.
I'm Amber Nicole Manatic.
Hey, Amber.
I didn't get a choice on this, by the way, first. Someone needed more time. No, I'm just kidding. So the direct line here is, maturity comes to us when we use spiritual principles rather than defects to deal with reality. I've literally grown up in this program, right? Like, I got here at 21. I wasn't planning on staying. I was going to be a normal 21-year-old. I just needed to not die today, right? And that was my focus for a while, right? I kind of try to stay in the literature and kind of bounce around a little bit, so just bear with me. So in Living Clean, under the chapter of commitment, it says, some of us take a long time to come to believe that we can contribute to the world in a way that serves the greater good or that serves our values and sense of purpose. Doing the right thing when no one is looking is an act of service to what we believe in. Some of us call this integrity. The sixth step calls it character. Whatever we call it, the practice is the discipline that forms the basis of our growing maturity. So, like, when I got here, like, I didn't understand the spiritual principles. I was definitely one of the people that read the steps on the wall and figured out which ones I could do in my head. And ta-da, I'm on 12. So that's how I thought it worked when I got here. But like, what did happen is I did get commitment. I took commitment very seriously. I started H&I at 90 days, and that sense of purpose, like it talked about, was something that I grabbed onto really quickly. In the life I led before coming to the rooms, I never thought I would be able to function as a normal human. I didn't think I could have a job. So when I was in active addiction, that was my job, and I treated it very seriously, which doesn't work well with tweakers and tweaker time. But I tried. So like, a sense of purpose was something that always I wanted, right? And to show up every week and reach out to people like me was that sense of purpose I held on to. Now, was I doing it from the right motives? Maybe at first, right? Like, I did too. And then I moved into what we call service-based recovery instead of recovery-based service. And I have to wonder if it did anything more than just bide time, right? But just like this thing said, like, it takes some time, right? And there's not a substitute for time. And that service-based recovery was what held me on till I could have my moment of clarity to do something different and to look deeper than what the word said in the sentence on the page. Let's see. I started into this quote, but I'll finish it. In awakenings, there is no substitute for time and recovery. It gives us a chance to heal, grow up, start over, and build lives that matter to us and the people around us. But time itself doesn't heal us, grow us up, or start us over. What matters most are the actions we take. Consistent application of the tools of recovery changes. So with that, you know, I lived on the edge of this program for a really, really long time. I lived what did not look like a recovery lifestyle. I lived with the using addict. I helped him hold his drugs. I helped him buy his drugs. I helped him wean. So, yeah. Anyone who believes that is hilarious. That was me. But when I left that relationship, I had no idea of what recovery really was. I knew I was not in it. And it took a moment of clarity on the side of a road in Pennsylvania to realize I wanted to do something different. But, you know, a moment of clarity does nothing without some willingness, is what the literature tells me, right? It doesn't bring about the change itself. But what did happen in my moment of clarity was I called my sponsor at the time and said, I want to work steps and I want to work all of them soon. And she said, I'm not the one. So now I have no sponsor. And then the thing that was the moment that, like, kind of sparked something for me is, as I'm walking around this town waiting for my flight, I come up on a city worker talking to a homeless man who says, And that's how I, that's when I made the decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of a higher power. There was a man talking about Narcotics Anonymous on the side of a street, just so happened to be when I was there. And that's what changed for me. So, this is where we get into maturity, right? So, like, I grew up in this program. I was 27 before I really would say I started committing myself to the program. 100%, without looking for loopholes, without trying to see how little I could apply to make my life successful, right? Like, I committed 100% at that time. So, I did a lot of growing up, and my ideas of growing up were, like, bare minimal. Like, I have a job. I have a place to stay. I have things. I have a car. You know, and really what my idea of growing up was as a kid was just social acceptability. And so, like, applying a program and learning how to move deeper than that was something that I wasn't prepared for. I don't know if any of y'all had this problem. When I was out there, I thought I was out there learning to learn who I was and find myself and stuff, and really what I needed was a program. I found myself in this program, and I was introduced to myself without my own permission. Through some great sponsorship and some step work and a higher power that guides that process. So I swear I'm not going to quote the whole book. I found a love for this literature that I can't explain, right? I used to think y'all were crazy when someone said, just when you're struggling, just open the book and find that reading. And so I found myself in the last few months, like, going to that every time. And so the last one I found that spoke to me came out of Traditions, right? And let's say, like, when I got here, Traditions were the driest material on the planet. It sounded like some gibberish and some stuff that I did not want to work at, right? Through some great, I found that, like, the Traditions have really, like, changed my aspect and challenged what I think I know a lot of times. And so, like, now I spend more time in the Traditions than I think I do the rest of the book. But in Guiding Principles, it's for Tradition 4. As we mature in recovery, we learn to exercise sound judgment in how we make our decisions, place our trust, and meet our responsibilities. Immaturity and unrealistic expectations are the consequences of unhealthy reliance on others. When we have not had the opportunity to make decisions in our life, we need experience to learn how to do it well. Responsible use of independent judgment develops in an atmosphere of freedom. As we make responsible decisions for ourselves, we develop our own conscience and maturity. And so when I read that, I think about early on in sponsorship, right? And the lack of choices I made in my life. I was an opinion shopper. So before I made actions, I wanted all of you to kind of vote on my life, right? Like, you tell me about your opinion, you tell me about your opinion, and you, and, like, the majority rules my life, right? That's that unhealthy reliance on others. And then when I had no one to make my decisions with me, I got angry and resentful that y'all weren't helping me, right? Through step work, like, I have a higher power to lean on and a sponsorship, and I have a sponsor to lean on, and I have a trusted circle that I go to. And no longer do I sit there and rely on you guys to make the right decisions for my life. Sometimes I have to stand for what I believe, which may not go with the group. You know what I mean? And it may not be the popular opinion, but it's what I have to do today. And, you know, about a year ago, if you had given me this topic, I would have told you about, you know, I travel the world and I have a nice car and I have all these things, just like I talked about my ideas of before, right? What I can tell you about today is that when I'm confronted with ideas how I usually react, I'm trying to do better about thinking it through, right? So I have a current, I have this fascination with getting on the internet and arguing. I know no one knows about it, and if you've been on my Facebook, you've never seen it, ever. But I had my fights I liked to get into, and I had certain preferred arguments to get involved in and preferred people to go after. And some of the times when I got in these arguments, I justified it as, you know, I'm protecting my friend. Like, look, someone's going after my friend and I need to get involved in this, right? And I get hateful, I get attacking, I get vindictive, and it's mama hen mode. Like, it's straight that. Not hen, it's bear, mama bear. But the thing is I had to look at that stuff. And so this person who liked to pick fights with me baited me in and tried to drag me into this conversation. And for the first time, like, I took a breath and I was like, you know what? This ain't gonna work. Like, being a mama hen and resorting to defects of character to defend someone is no longer what I wanna do. It's still actively using defect, you know? And then more than that, I need to think about unity, right? So if I pick this fight and scream and fight all these people on the internet, what if a new person sees that conversation and they don't agree with me? And then they find themselves sitting in a meeting with me, needing somebody. Do they feel welcome to come to me? Do they feel welcome to talk to me? Because this program is about diversity. Every opinion is welcome here in this room, right? It's open for discussion. It's open for topic. And if I don't allow someone to be who they are and make them comfortable being who they are, they don't want to stay. Or at least I don't think I would want to. And so these are the things I have to sit here and question today and think about. Because I no longer want to be this destructive force that drags through recovery, right? Whether it be a man or shady shit in my past, I don't want my own actions to be the thing that has to be discussed about, right? And I want to be there for the next person. When I got here, I spent a whole bunch of time running in and out that door, right? It took 4 months to get clean, and I went to a meeting every day, regardless if I was high or not. And the same people were standing by that door every time I came back. I hate to say that a lot of those people that stood by that door aren't there. And that was a really hard part of my recovery, was building my circle back up. And you know, the thing that helped me get through that at that point was realizing that it was now my time to stand by the door. And I was to be the one to stand there in case they came back. I haven't got to see them yet, but who knows? Maybe in the time that I'm standing by that door, it's not them that I'm waiting for. That's the next one. And so in that situation, like, these arguments, these fights, and these defects that I carry around, I can't bring those to the front door with me because no one will want to walk through there. Today I've got to work at carrying my assets to welcome the person in, regardless if I agree with them or not. One of the first times I think I actually chose to use assets in this program instead of defects. My ex obviously chose to go back out and use, and he lost his life from this disease. His drug dealer walked into a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. And no one wanted to talk to her. Everyone kind of kept their distance. And I knew who she was. And I sat there, you know what I mean, making that silent prayer to my higher power, like, let someone else take this wheel, because it's not me. And no one did. And a higher power said it was my turn. And so I went and I sat and I talked with her, and she didn't know who I was. And that's okay. Maybe that was for the best. But I talked to this woman day in and day out for 4 days until she made her decision that it wasn't her time, right? It was probably the hardest thing I had to do because every instinct in me wanted to, like, tell her to F off. But she may not, like, me and her may have not clicked it off. She may never be my friend in recovery, all these things. But I don't know who she's going to touch that will affect my life, right? What if she brings in someone who helps someone I care about? That's the unity that we don't see, right? The unity, like, I need to work towards is making sure that the future generations are just taken care of as much as I was taken care of. This was a beautiful place when I got here. And maybe it doesn't look like it did when I got here, but that's some tradition I had to get used to. Flexibility and understanding that recovery will not always be that glory image I have of when I got clean. But I want to make it the best place I can for the next person. You know, sorry. I think, I'll go back to this. So I recently got another chance to practice some traditions with some people. So I'm really bad at this idea of forgive but not forget, right? And I thought that was a great concept. I thought it's, the world tells me it's a great concept to live by. It does not apply to me in these rooms. So I've definitely found myself on opposite ends of the opinion life as other people in Narcotics Anonymous, which I was hurt about, which I felt separated from about that kind of stuff. And everyone attached to that situation, I just avoided like the plague, whether we had good terms or bad terms. And I realized what I needed to do, because this is where I'm at. My recovery is a third tradition. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using, right? That's not necessarily just for the addict walking in. That's for me to participate on my part. It means to not have judgment, and it means every person in the room deserves to be treated as a member, regardless if I feel like they're acting my way or not, right? So it doesn't just mean they can sit at this table. It means if they're sitting at this table, I need to greet them, I need to acknowledge them, and I need to welcome them to my table if that's what needs to happen, right? That's how I'm learning to practice my third tradition. So I didn't even know that this was the one I was going to start really applying into my life. And I saw a member hurting, one of these people that I just put in this group. They were hurting. And I decided to act different than what my mind told me to do. And when I opened myself up to these people, I wasn't remembering all the disagreements and all the other stuff. I remembered the good times we had before the disagreement. I remembered the love and support they gave me before the disagreement, right? And really, what the only problem I'm doing by holding these resentments and trying to separate myself from members of Narcotics Anonymous is just hurting me, leaving me in the pain and leaving me separated from everyone else, right? It did nothing to that person because they don't even know. You know, the whole thing of resentment is drinking poison, hoping the other person to die. And this is what I did, and this is what I didn't even realize, right? Like, it's not a resentment because I'm not mad and I'm not cussing and I'm not storming up a fit, but really I'm still wanting myself to be isolated, separated, and not a part of, you know? And by practicing welcoming every one of you guys to this table, I'm inviting myself back to the table. And it's a two-way street, this whole program. Every time I apply a principle in my life, it's not just for you, it's not just for me, it's for all of us together. And you know, I really, honestly, when I got thrown on traditions, I was not happy about it, and I was like, this is dumb, and there's no reason to it. And it's drastically changed my life. And I spent so many years on the edge of this program figuring out how little I could apply. Man, my life was flipping miserable. Even before I went to the straight chaos of dating the using addict, right? Like, I didn't even know how to make decisions for myself. I still didn't know how to dream, right? Had no concept that my life could look different than what it already did. You know, I'm not using drugs. That's the best I was hoping for. And, you know, today, like, I don't want to minimize that, right? I have social anxiety, but I still need to be a part of you guys. And moments of uncomfortability give opportunities for growth. And so, like, I have to push myself into that, right? I have a sponsor that lives 6 hours, four to 6 hours away from me, depending on how many times I stop. And if there's a casino on the way, whatever. Just kidding. But, you know, everything I have to do is intentional with it. In years prior, I choose a sponsor that I have easy access to so I don't have to go out of my way and do things. I have a sponsor that works the opposite times of the day when he lives in a different state. Everything I have to do is intentional, and I need it to be that way because if I take it for granted, I will be back in the exact same place. And I have commitments, right? And there's a lot of commitments I can't do with the rotating schedule. I can't promise I'm going to be there on the first Saturday of every month. It's just not going to happen, guys. But you know what I can do today is participate in my home group. And I can take a monthly commitment. I can participate in an H&I when I'm available. I can give dates to someone and say, this is what I've got. And, you know, that's part of my commitment as well. And you know what? The literature is not just a decoration on my dresser. It's something that I need to practice and look at. I know many people who carry their literature around, highlight it, like Ricardo's really pretty book right here. I'm not that one, but you know, if you're like me and have these issues, the literature is available on your phone and you can highlight in there too. And so my poor thing is, I think, overloaded with memory of notes and highlights and definitions and all the things, because nothing that's suggested to me is off the table. I want to apply all the things that have worked for you guys into my life because it's worked for you guys. And I want to make sure I carry this on so I can help the next person. And I feel like I'm rambling, and that's all I got. I hope you're prepared.
Thank you, Amber. And now we have Ricardo C.
My name is Ricardo. I'm a recovering addict. And so I'm looking down because I know when I look up, it's like all of y'all, you know. And it's funny. I DJ and I can talk noise in front of 100 people, but I get in front of like 6 to 10 of y'all and I get like, you know, my knees get to shaking, you know, because y'all know me. You know, I can't cover it up. I can't lie. I'm a little prepared, I'm a little unprepared, but I'm letting God do the talking. So, and I'm going to talk about the topic. So the quote is, maturity comes to us when we use spiritual principles rather than defects to deal with reality. So quick question. If you're, and I'll use this, if you're in a committee setting, and somebody shares something you don't agree with it at all, what spiritual principles do you think would apply in that situation?
Second tradition.
Tolerance. Oh, wait. Open-mindedness.
Tolerance.
Patience.
Compassion.
Kindness.
Okay. Anonymity.
Okay. So, nice. Now, having said that, and being in, I can't talk for anybody else, I can speak for me. I know all those principles, and I guarantee you, in a committee meeting, if that goes right out the window, not because I don't practice them, but because we are emotional creatures. So, and sometimes I get confused sometimes with somebody disagreeing. To me, it's like an attack. You know, that sometimes that's how I take it. So, the literature says, this is also Living Clean, learning to accept the things we cannot change and take action where it is appropriate is not just part of recovering from addiction, it is part of growing up. Many of us are like overgrown children, still wanting to have things our way without regard for anything or anyone else. It's funny, it's real. God has like total jokes, okay? So I was asked to do this workshop a while back, and I went to a meeting, and we're reading out of the spiritual principles of the day. And just right towards the end of the meeting, the book got to me. And this is the principle that was in this reading. And as far as I know, this is the only place that I've ever seen it. Equanimity. The The definition of equanimity is mental calmness, composure, and evenness of temper, especially in a difficult situation. Exactly. I'm blaming the Sharon and Recovery Group because that's what it was. But and I turned to them and I said, "This is a plot, right? Y'all are against me, right?" Because I'm not. I can honestly share with you that I am not the best at committee work. I love committees. I love Narcotics Anonymous with all my heart. And sometimes that's a double-edged sword because sometimes I love it so much that my emotions get the best of me. My passion gets the best of me, you know, and I get into that mode where it's like, you know, if you just listen, it'd be okay. And God has to put people in my life that are a little more mature than me spiritually and set me straight. And sometimes I get my little feelings hurt, you know, and part of growing up in recovery, part of being, you know, for me, maturity is I got to learn to deal with that and accept that. How long it takes me to do that is on me. So you know, we talk about the spiritual principles, and the opposite of spiritual principles is character defects. A lot of them that kind of bite us in the ass, I'm sorry, bite me in the ass, self-centeredness, selfishness, being a martyr. If you don't know what a martyr is, it's like, how could they do that to me? Don't they understand how they're hurting me? You know, and that's the thing. That's the thing in recovery. Maturity, let's do this. So this is out of the dictionary, or one of the dictionaries. I was curious what maturity really means. Maturity is not a matter of age, but instead of how you choose to respond and react to various life situations. It is essentially a level of mental development or wisdom that has bearing on all areas of an individual's life, right from their conduct to their relationship with others. There are four kinds of maturity: physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And for all intents and purposes, we'll deal with spiritual. I would love to stand up here and tell you that I adhere to those, and when I'm in a situation, I get caught up, that I, you know, my mind stops and I think of, you know, well, I need to be tolerant and I need to be patient and I need to be compassionate, but it doesn't happen a lot of times. I'm still growing in Narcotics Anonymous. I've been around this program a long time. And although my clean time doesn't reflect it, I have experience in that situation, and I can only speak for myself. The spiritual principle of harmony, you know, we don't talk about that. Harmony, be careful, Lewis. The spiritual principle of harmony, I kind of tie it in with the spiritual principle of unity. Except for me, like I believe unity means that we really got to work together, you know, and unify. That's the only way we can make it. Harmony is my frame of mind when I'm dealing in unity. I learned something a while back, and it's I carry it with me all the time. Nothing is the best thing to say, and almost always the right thing to do. And that sticks with me because after the fact, I remember that, you know. You know, and so I, you know, part of me growing up in Narcotics Anonymous, part of me growing up in recovery, my prayer every day is to be better than I was the day before. And I try to learn from previous experiences. And as I've gotten older, it's gotten a little easier. It doesn't work all the time. The whole mental calmness and composure and evenness of temper, especially in a difficult situation, it seems to come up in relationships a lot. And I'm not talking about just male-female relationships. I'm talking about relationships with people that you love, people that are part of your life. That kind of stuff is still kind of unknown to me. You know, I sat down the other day and I had a conversation with someone and I started counting how many people I know in recovery that I've known for at least 20 years. I have a lot of people. That page was really long, you know, and I realized when I was doing that I've gotten to be old in Narcotics Anonymous. I've had the privilege to live a life of recovery and to have people really get to know me, you know, and they allow me to get to know them. And sometimes, man, relationships are hard, you know. You know, you have to learn that it's like, it's okay for me not to agree with you. It's okay for you to do something that hurts me, because you know what I'm saying? It's okay. It's okay not to be okay. A lot of times the stuff that goes on in my head is all of my own doing. I would like to think that, you know, that I've been around long enough not to be self-centered, you know, but it's not. I've had arguments with people in committee meetings. I told a group, the last words I told a group was, I hope you burn it down. You know, I was a GSR at the time, but I've been a GSR for 3 years and I was pretty burnt out, you know, and somebody pointed that out. And of course, because I take it as an attack instead of concern, that's how I reacted. I've learned that in Narcotics Anonymous, a lot of it is responding. You know, and sometimes not responding is a response. Acceptance that we're all different. You know, these are the principles that I believe that will help us as we mature in Narcotics Anonymous in difficult situations. Acceptance, you know, to accept you right where you are, you know, and love you right where you are. You know, your anonymity is absolutely, you know, there was a guy, I never forget, I can't remember his name, but it was on the South Side Wall. He used to have this thing, he used to say, there's no big I's or no little U's in Narcotics Anonymous. And I remembered that, you know, and it wasn't even about pointing out people, it was about, you know, that everybody's opinion counts. Everybody's opinion counts, you know. My sponsor is very fond of sharing with me that sometimes that one dissension, that one person that doesn't agree in a committee, sometimes that may be the voice of a higher power. You know, that may be, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. And I've watched and been in enough committees that sometimes when that happens, you start to see it go around. When we allow our higher power to be in the center of it, it starts to be like, okay, maybe this makes sense. You know, maybe we ought to try it. Humility. I've learned in Narcotics Anonymous that those who aren't humble, those who don't have humility, will be humbled one way or another, you know. Equanimity, humility, harmony, discernment. Discernment is that whole thing, is like learning when to pick, you know, picking your battles. And all these things that I'm sharing with you I've learned them in Narcotics Anonymous. I've had people, you know, people in Narcotics Anonymous share this with me, people that are close to me, you know. My favorite, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? Of course, being an addict, I'm like, I want both. Yeah. My sponsor says that's not allowed. You know what I mean? And that would be a great solution, you know, except that that's not living in reality. The reality is, you know, a lot of the debates and a lot of the things that I have, like, in 6 months, it's not a hill of beans. It's not going to make a difference. You know what I mean? Why carry that with me? You know, character defects or resentments. You know, I've done that. I've carried resentments. And they've left nothing but scars on my insides, you know. Effort is necessary for change to occur. Our lives change because we take action. Some of us say that we are applying spiritual principles because it means we are reacting in some particular way. Others of us prefer to say we are practicing principles because we know we can always get better at it. However we say it, action is what matters. And I like that. I really like that because, like I said, I try to be better each day. I like to think I practice the principles. You know, like we practice these principles in all our affairs. You know, we do things in Narcotics Anonymous and repetition. You know, I've been reading these readings for like 20-some years. Still ain't got them down. Don't care to memorize them because I feel I need to keep doing them. You know, traditions like Amber shared earlier. You know, when I was a newcomer, you know, 6 months clean, I'm going to meeting. I loved meetings except for tradition meetings. They talking about tradition 9. I'm like, because it's like sandpaper. As you mature, which means, you know, as you grow, you start to realize these traditions are what keep us together. You know, how else can you describe being in a room with people? If we were in a bar together, it'd be the greatest fight ever. You know, and let's keep it 100. While we were using, there some of us that wouldn't have crossed paths at all. But today we can, you know, we can sit in a committee meeting and you know, agree and disagree, you know, but remembering why we're there. You know, for me, it's remembering that it's the addict who hasn't made it here yet. You know, that I was taught that a long time ago, and it's like, it's the truth. And sometimes, man, when you're on a committee and you go through all that, you know what I'm saying, and finally, the convention or whatever it is, it's finally here. And for me, it's been like that experience, like, you know, I've gone through all that, and then in that convention somewhere I'll see a newcomer, and he'll be, you know, he or she'll be sitting in a corner, or they'll have that look on their eyes, and then I see somebody else relate to that person, you know, and share the message of Narcotics Anonymous, and then I remember. That's why we do it. That's why we do all of it. You know, because somebody did it for me. A lot of people did it for me. And I get emotional because a lot of them people aren't here anymore. And I would like to think that wherever they are, that they're looking down and going, you know, he's still kind of stubborn, still a little bit of an a-hole, but he's doing the best he can with what he has. Those relationships are important. You know, I share this a lot, and I share it so I can remember. If you have someone in a room or in a committee meeting or something and you just can't stand them, like looking at them or hearing them talk is like scratching nail on a chalkboard. It just drives you insane. You might want to memorize that person's face, because A, you're probably going to grow up in Narcotics Anonymous to be just like them, or B, they may be the person that answers the phone when you need them the most. And that's how I've learned humility, you know. Discernment, like I was talking about discernment. Discernment is knowing when and not, when to say something, when not to say something. I wish I could say I was good at that too, but I'm not. I'm not good at any of this. We are not the only people who have spiritual awakenings, but there is a particular awakening we experience as a result of working the steps. A lot of whatever maturity I have that other people see, because I can't see it, whatever maturity I have is because I've worked the steps of Narcotics Anonymous, and I try to work them diligently and in earnest, which means I stop lying to myself. Sometimes it takes me longer than others, but I stop lying to myself. I start telling the truth. And if I'm in the recovery process, then that's what I'll get from it. I can share with you that here lately I haven't been in the recovery process. Oh my goodness. And I can tell you that I've been miserable. But not miserable enough to use. You know, I'm sharing that with you to share that. Maturity, everybody, we all grow at different levels. And I didn't understand that at first. But, you know, it may take some of us 5 years to get to where somebody else is. I've learned not to compare myself to anyone. I am in my spot in recovery right now because this is where I need to be. I feel like I'm rambling too. I just want to share, man, that you hear a lot of us talk about growing up in Narcotics Anonymous. This book wasn't out when I first came around. This book isn't for us. This book is for you. Because it shares the experiences that we have as we grow older in Narcotics Anonymous, as we mature physically in Narcotics Anonymous. And we learn that nothing is finite, you know. People die, they pass on, you know. I hope and I pray that something I've said here will help someone. I know that I sound a little scattered. I am. So that what I did was I came in the door, I just started hugging people. Yeah. Even people I didn't know. I start hugging people and just start, you know, saying, I'm glad you're here, because I am. I'm really glad everybody's here. I mean, I remember you in 3 hours, but I'm glad you're here. You know what I'm saying? And I may reintroduce myself to some people sometimes, but well, I'm glad you're here. And for me, the most important one is that spiritual principle of acceptance. You know, I'm not always right. I don't always know. And each experience I have is, you know, committee work or whatever situation and relationship, each experience I have is part of the lesson. And I just want to continue to learn a lesson. I just want to continue to get better, you know. So later on, people can say, hey, man, you know what? He finally grew up in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I don't want to be a guru. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be Mr. N.A. I just want to be, I want to be an addict in recovery that carries a message that any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Because that's what's happened for me. I mean, this isn't about me, but I can share with you that I've had a life that I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. You know, and people still love me, and they still let me in the door. Even if they're mad at me. Even if they don't agree with me, you know. That to me, that's like part of the spiritual principle of harmony, man. I love you no matter what. You know, because you love me no matter what. And like, when I was young in recovery, you know, it was like, sit down and shut up. You ain't got nothing to share. You know, and it's like, how dare you? You know what I'm saying? But at that moment in time, I didn't. You know. But I was eager, and I learned, and I kept my mouth shut, and I studied, and I read the literature, and I did whatever they did, you know. And I learned what not to do. Sometimes we're the example of what to be in Narcotics Anonymous. Sometimes we're the example of what not to be in Narcotics Anonymous. But that's okay, because that situation reaches who it has to reach. I don't know what y'all expected out of this workshop, and I don't know if I've like just totally floated off topic, but I'm grateful to have the opportunity to be here and to share what my experience, strength, and hope on this topic. I just encourage you all to keep coming back. That's all I got.
Thank you, Ricardo, and thank you, Amber Nicole. It's a good workshop for us. I think we all learned something. Okay, if you have any questions for these two, they're still here. No? Okay, I just threw that on them. They may not like that.
I don't feel
Okay. All right. Well, we can close with the Serenity Prayer. Okay, you want to circle up, or we're just gonna
just
see. Yeah, it's easier. It's easier.
I don't know, what do y'all want to do?
Six.
Two.
Okay.